because we record in three group sessions, three or four sessions in one day.
It depends.
Because of that, right now we are missing Anthony playing Adam and Braz playing Sorek for the next couple sessions. They're still part of our family and we love them very much, but they're just going to be out for a little bit. So, doing a quick recap for everybody, the Opera House and Petra, you went there for Princess Serafina's birthday celebration. You were there for various different reasons. The celebration was interrupted by an attempted kidnapping. There was a plot to capture Jezebeth Throngsong, and it was foiled by our band of heroes.
Foiled.
You guys all used your skills to track the singer down. You found a hole dug in the back room. You followed it down. You were poisoned. You were attacked by rats. There were all sorts of different things going on. When you returned her to her trusted bodyguard, and upon that return of getting her, bringing her back from literally just about to be on a boat and out of here, when you returned her back, you received a summons for the princess. Essentially, she was impressed with you and she wants to meet you guys. And each card was given to each individual member. So you all have a separate invitation, but it was to be told to be joining the princess tomorrow afternoon. And that's pretty much everything we did. It was a lot of action, a lot of movement, and nobody really got a chance to know each other. Some people haven't even said their names. But I think you guys decided to split ways for the night. Some people went back to their home, and some people are bunking up with other people.
Sorek, Adam, and Lagatha came to my little abode.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, Simon, I think you went to your hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
Scarlet.
Yeah, I wanted to say five different names. Scarlet, you went to... You wound up going back to your little
apartment.
Yeah. So points I want everyone at the table to remember. So that was a story. I want everyone to remember these things about your character right now. Okay. The plot to kidnap was confirmed in a letter signed by Davenport. Okay. That's important. In the sewer, you found several eyes. One was written in dust, looked like a doodle, but one was actually in stone in the floor. Okay, Scarlet saw somebody from her past. Simon, don't forget, you need to speak to Jezebeth about Quaggoth and the artifacts that was taken by her ancestor. Okay, Lagatha and Adam, you have a lead on a farm and someone connected to your village. You remember that?
Got it.
Okay, and actually, the love note was really about the thing. The next part of it is the farm right down here. So the delivery address, that's the farm that we're talking about. Everybody good? Everyone is okay? No questions?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So we can pick up... Let's pick up at Ulrich's, I guess, home of some sort? Apartment or brownstone or something? You're in?
It would be a modest little bungalow.
A bungalow? Okay. What do you think? In town? Outside of town?
Outside of town.
Okay, so you guys pick up Sorek and Adam are technically there right now, but really for just roleplay purposes, it's just
we understand the assignment.
Just catching everybody, yeah.
Are we doing that night or are we going to skip to the next morning?
We'll skip to the next morning. I'm sure everyone was pretty exhausted. It was a very, very late night.
I would be up first.
Okay.
Just a question. Because now we're into the next day.
Yeah. Next
pull
morning.
Up our hit points back.
Yeah, you can all take a long rest.
Okay.
Woo! So exciting.
I would be up first.
Okay. And what does that look like?
I would get up in the morning. I would do my morning prayers. Actually, let me find my Ulrich voice. And I would prepare a nice breakfast for everyone.
Okay.
You're not there.
I'm clapping that you're making that. My God.
Jeez. You're not there. I offered you. You said no. You thought you were too good for me.
Alright. What's the breakfast
look like? I would come in to whatever common room that I had the three of you sleeping in, because I wouldn't have much space. So there would be some sort of room where you could all just lay out your bedrolls and just sort of bunk up. Well, I hope everyone likes vegetarian. And I would come out with a prepared meal of cornmeal pancakes with a lovely basil vinaigrette dressing. A three-bean salad with sautéed greens.
I would prefer vegetarian myself.
Oh, excellent. Yes, I haven't eaten meat in years.
As I am a forest gnome, I tend to forage what is there. Very rarely would I partake of the wild animals. Unless absolutely necessary. Or for special occasions.
I respect that. What brings you to Petra?
We came to Petra. There's some problems where we are, especially in Cordova. Massive deforestation. People are going hungry. This is not a place that sees hunger or strife. So we have a lead about a delivery of wood. And we like to try and get there before the new moon to find out who's behind it. We've gone through a lot of things in our time, and we've seen a lot of people. So if they are of a nefarious means, it doesn't bother us to get rid of them. So that's what we are.
Would I have heard of this deforestation, DM? Like, has word spread to here?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Not necessarily. Okay. I think, so where you are, your continent, you're pretty much in a bubble.
Yeah. That's over there. That's over there.
That's not here. Yeah. So you might have heard it very faintly, but nothing.
Okay.
Serious.
Well, barring where this meeting with the princess will send us, I'll gladly assist you in assisting with this delivery of wood that perhaps can
be undelivered, or at least find out.
If it will help feed your people or get them to a position where the people who are starving them or pay for their crimes, I would be glad to assist.
Well, we would be very, very appreciative.
Do you know where it's being delivered? I know the city pretty well.
Yes. Somewhere, a farm. And I take out the piece of paper. Barnbriar Farm. The end of Summit Lane in Petra. Is it familiar to you?
What name did you say?
Barnbriar Farm.
Alric drops his teacup and it shatters on the floor.
Oh dear. Apparently you do know.
That was my farm, mine and my husband's.
Do you know a person by the name of Eldrin Thornwood?
I don't know that name.
Well, that's who signed for this.
May I see that? You don't have to, if it's like your personal, like...
Just go to the
bottom. The bottom
where there's some, like, bill of sale.
Okay. Delivery address?
Delivery address. So this is kind of like a handwritten notes off of the original that she saw in the other thing.
Yes,
so one thing I want you to just take note of is that the guys who took the wood could have had some involvement with your town. Yes.
Yeah,
that's with your town. Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Was he part of my town?
Ooh. He was not part of your town,
okay.
But you believe, you heard maybe a rumor that the people who came to do the deforestation, to deliver this wood, that those people there could have had some involvement in the destruction of your town.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I...
So it's more of like a...
Yeah, I gotta
like
find
out. Anger there that you have.
I believe at this time this Eldrin Thornwood may be involved in the whole operation...
Yes, we need to find Eldrin Thornwood and have words with him.
But this Barnbriar Farm, you say it was yours?
It was mine and my husband's together, yes.
What happened, if I may ask?
Robert unfortunately was killed in a random act of violence. He was on his way into town to sell some of our wares at the marketplace. We eked out a modest living, harvesting and selling our crops in the city. Came across a band of nobles who thought it'd be funny to just knock him around and take what wasn't theirs for free. Robert was never one to be bullied. He was outnumbered.
I am sorry about that. That gets our collective vengeance juices flowing when we hear stories like that. Ever since the massacre in our small village, we've made it a point, while looking for the people responsible for the massacre, we also try to help those in need in trails deep in the forest or in town, people who need our help. We just don't like that. I wish we were around when Robert went to town.
So do I. After he died, I couldn't keep the farm myself, and very quickly they moved in and commandeered my land for themselves.
Who is they?
Did I have a specific name, DM, or was it just the nobility?
The nobility, more of like Kingsguard, where just like unceremoniously get the fuck off. Yeah. This is our land now.
So I live here now. I have a modest little garden outside.
And it's quite lovely.
Oh, thank you.
Quite lovely. Do you mind if I take a look around? My turtle and I would like to just look around.
That's quite all right. I believe I have some bitter lettuce in the back that you might enjoy.
Oh, he hasn't had that in a while. I thank you. So I'm going to go out, find the bitter lettuce, and let my...
No, I forget. You guys, were you going to have a meetup, I think, at her hotel?
Yes. Yeah, we were going to connect with Simon. Yeah, we were going to connect with Simon and Scarlet there. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to jump to you guys now. Is there anything that you guys would do separately in the morning before meeting up?
I don't know if this is not kosher, so you just tell me. So I was wondering if they would have, if like they could roll perception checks when they see Scarlet.
Sure. Sure. When they first see her in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
That's really it? You want
to... I just didn't know if they could roll perception checks when they see her.
If you would like them to, or insight check maybe, to see like her, how she's handling something, or...
I think it would be more outward than anything else.
Okay. You can always ask that stuff. Like, okay. I don't mind that stuff, because like, sometimes you have to know your character, mm-hmm. and you have to say... I would like to roll a wisdom check to see if I can control myself.
Mm-hmm.
You're always welcome to do that. That's no problem. Is there anything... So when you wake up in the morning after a very turbulent night, I mean, you had the highest emotions of joy directly into terror and fear, mm-hmm. pushed beyond your limits. So now you wake up in your own bed.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel?
Not great. Kind of one of those feelings like you haven't... Like, you know that you haven't slept. But it was almost like your soul was journeying all night long.
Got it. Very restless kind of sleep?
Yes.
Okay. So when you wake up, what is the first thing that you think of? Is it the joy of performing, or was it the terror of seeing people from your past? Or is it the excitement and adrenaline rush and then dump of rescuing Jezebeth?
It would be rushing to a mirror.
Okay.
And putting on her face.
Oh, trying to get back?
Putting on the mask.
Time to regroup kind of thing.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What is the outside going to see? It doesn't matter what I feel. It's what am I going to portray to the outside.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So.
And that's the reason I would say for their perception jump. Can they see it yet?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. So, okay. So you're going to do your probably like ritual of makeup, mm-hmm. and probably like smiling in the mirror, mm-hmm. and like, you know, checking for any flaws, right? Like, this is probably like a ritual for you.
Practice the laugh, practice the smile, practice the eye batting, and like
practice the whole thing.
Yep. Run through the whole thing.
Dressed up nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then around the right time you would leave and head out.
Yep.
Simon, what are you going to be doing this morning? You wake up in your hotel room.
Right. After my meditation, I'll try to hook up so we can meet.
So you're going to wake up, meditate.
Right.
Feel, you know, everything like that.
Right.
Probably read some notes and stuff. Like any...
Sure. Things that are given to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that, and as a wizard, you would need to like read some spell books in the morning, stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, DM.
No, just reminding you. Because part of being a wizard is you really have to remember, I'm preparing spells every day.
Right.
So that you really get into
it. Correct. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, go over my notes, go over my spells.
Yeah.
Go over in my head
what
actions and reactions I can take.
Also, I want to remind you, you have that little puzzle box that was given to you. No, it's okay. Yeah. Right now there's nothing in it. It's a little puzzle box that you were given to be a safe place for when you find something valuable, when you find these eyes, you can put them in.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why is it called a puzzle box?
Because don't forget, you are attuned to this puzzle box, and it's almost like a little box that has little needles and pins and buttons that you have to do in a certain combination to even open it.
Okay.
And only you right now are attuned to it, so only you know the secret code to open it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
Thank you.
But this box is also, like, when you open it, it's kind of like almost like a bag of holding where you can put immensely big things in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's like a little pocket demiplane kind of thing where you can put things in it that now, because it's a puzzle box, only you could get into it. I'm just reminding you because this might come up. Okay, so I'm just going to say you guys have a nice breakfast. You do your normal routines, and you're gonna probably meet in the lobby of the Grand Hotel. Like, I don't know exactly where, you know, but it's just a basic looking hotel. Not a hotel, but yeah, there's rooms inside. It's not really a tavern on the inside. It's much more of a lobby, and then you staircases up top to see the different places.
Okay.
Don't forget, you're in a city that's kind of, imagine like Vegas, where there's lots of casinos and lots of gambling everywhere, but then there's also just kind of like room and board. Here's a room, get the room, move on, kind of thing. But yeah, so you guys can meet up in the city, in the lobby, and what do you guys say to each other?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm going to roll my perception check now that my fellow player has asked us to roll.
Yes. So roll a perception check for you. Now you have to roll a deception.
Okay.
Are you actively trying to deceive everybody? I think that is a yes.
Mm-hmm. Plus two.
20.
Are you proficient?
Clear.
No,
just plus one. I rolled a 19.
Excellent. Are you proficient?
In perception, no.
No? Okay. All right. 15. That sounds good. 15.
20.
And mom? I'm sorry, mom.
3.
Oh.
You weren't perceptive.
You're terrible.
And there's a big fat one right there.
Natural one for
what
her.
Roll?
On deception, I rolled a 25.
Holy crap!
A nat 20 plus 5.
Excellent! So you walk in, you've done your job. You've done, I have centered myself, I have prepared myself, I have put my mask on, and I am ready for my day. And you feel very confident. And all of you take a look and you go, oh, hey, how's it going? And
so I'm seeing her
perfectly fine. You see her, her makeup
perfectly
is on,
coiffed.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfectly coiffed. Excellent way to say it.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
Right. I'm seeing her that way, but what do the others see her?
They all, well, you got the top score. So you got a 20, she got a 25. Nobody can see that she might have internal conflictions.
All right.
Yep.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Smile, smile, smile.
Smile.
Apple?
Oh, no, I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I always keep a few snacks on me. I might get a bit peckish throughout the day.
So right now you guys have a couple options to do. You want to visit with Jezebeth, and her bodyguard said you guys can come back in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have the invite to the princess at the castle. Mm-hmm. And there's like a little crystal castle that's kind of separate from the rest of the city. You have to walk a little bit toward, and you're expected somewhere there around noon.
Before we head out, I'm like, we should probably get this out of the way. Ulrich Joran.
I'm in Belfry.
And you are?
Scarlet Davenport.
I do a little bow to you.
She does the same. She returns.
I will let that 25 run for the day.
Ooh, thanks.
You're welcome. Unless there's something that specifically triggers you, I might make you re-roll for that moment. But for the day, I'll say that you're at a 25 because you did your ritual.
Now I am Lagartha Brisbane in the shadow over there. That's my husband, Adam. May not see much of him today. He's having a stint right now.
Hmm.
He's the quiet one, but he's good.
I'll also say at this moment where Zorik introduces himself too, but I'm not going to role play for Braz. I'll just say, you know his name, you know that he is a paladin.
Zorik Nodelru, I believe.
Yeah. To keep in mind, he just to give you a description of who he is, he's got reddish hair, a little bit, maybe shoulder length, alarmingly blue eyes, almost like this color, like a little, not like, ooh, pale blue, like alarmingly blue. And then he's kind of has like little, almost like tattoos in his skin right here that are blue and kind of glow like his eyes. And fair skinned. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I must say, I've never gone to a meeting at the palace before. Does anyone know how the fuck this works?
Are you going to do that first, or are you going to do Jezebeth?
Oh, that's right, I apologize. I was getting confused.
Okay, yeah.
So, I guess perhaps you can take point. You know her better than we do.
I know of her. I don't know her.
You mean you theater people don't all know each other?
Well, there's tiers of theater, air quote, people.
Ah.
We would consider Jezebeth to be top tier, A-list, and I am not there yet.
Don't sell yourself short. I thought your performance was rather lovely.
Well, thank you. Well, shall we?
We shall.
Jezebeth.
We shall. Should I put my blades away?
Yes, probably don't need those right now. Could attract unwanted attention in the city guard. And I don't feel like cracking heads quite yet. Bit early in the day.
But you feel like it.
Well, it's always just beneath the surface.
Good man. So,
as you guys all hello and greet and everything and kind of regroup, as you go to leave, you realize, well, I think the two of you, Simon and Lagatha, would realize that in this city, anything goes. You can be walking down the street carrying swords and no one's going to say anything to you. This is people dress how they want to dress. And it's just kind of like crazy pants town. So you make your way through a couple back streets and then now you're on the high road, and when you're on the high road it is insane, but you make your way to probably the largest and most beautiful hotel you've ever seen, and there is sculptures in the lobby, gold painting everywhere, marble floors. It is really spectacular, and there's a big grand staircase. And when you walk in, people are like, whoa, what are you guys doing here?
Oh, we're friends of Jezebeth, and we're just here to see her and see how she is.
Deception. Accepting any fans or autographs or anything like that. You can wait outside.
Oh, but we're not fans, we're friends.
Everyone tells me the same story. Don't worry about it. You guys can head out.
No, I don't believe we will. I believe she's expecting us, and I believe you will knock on the door and announce our presence.
Customer is always right, and you can tell this guy's very aggravated, but he will walk upstairs.
I'm going to do the little, put the glasses on the end of the nose, and look down at him thing.
So he will go upstairs, and he'll say, you stay here. And he'll walk upstairs. After a minute, he'll come back and he'll say, yes, you can proceed up. She's in room 105.
Thank you very much. Yeah. For your polite service. After you?
I'm going to say as Scarlet walks past him, she's going to like fluff up that cake so like it hits him as she walks past.
The hell? No. you all head upstairs. Clunky, clunky, clunky up the stairs because you're all wearing armor.
Oh, pots and pans.
Yeah. You head upstairs. You go to room 05. Knock on the door. Her bodyguard is there. And he opens the door and you can see he looks like he's been up all night. Like he's in the same clothes. He's, you know, bags under his eyes. You know, he looks like he hasn't recovered at all. And he, thank you for coming. That's very nice of you guys to come back. That's very kind of you. Please come on in. And he's very soft spoken and he looks like he's been through the ringer. But don't forget, he was really injured the night before.
Put a hand on his shoulder. I give him a pear.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, I haven't eaten anything. That's very nice.
Could use the sugar.
He lets you all in and you're kind of in like a little like sitting area. And you can see from the sitting area, there's another room off to the side through kind of like little suite doors that go through into another room off that. When you walk in, Jezebeth comes through those doors from the bedroom And she steps into the room and she walks over to you, and she's much taller than you. Mm-hmm. And she walks over and she kind of holds your hand and just kind of like nuzzles your hand almost and just says, "Thank you all. Thank you all so much again. I just wanted to make sure that I saw you again this morning in the light, and once I got a moment to rest, and I just wanted to properly thank you as much as I could for your help." And then she just kind of breaks down crying.
I'm gonna kind of like hold her and like put the cape around her like I did the day before.
Oh.
And just kind of like hold her there and let her have her moment.
Yeah. So there's a few seats, like sitting area, a few couches and chairs sitting around, and
is there like a love seat?
Yeah.
So I would like kind of maybe push her that way and sit with her.
Okay. So you guys sit in the love seat and you're just sitting with her, and her bodyguard is just kind of like hovering nearby. Mm-hmm. And you all just kind of sit down and she's just taking a few moments. And she'll look over to him and she'll just say, Can you go get the thing? Can you get the thing? And he walks over and he gets like a little tiny chest. Then he goes over and he'll hand it to you, Simon. And he'll just hand you this little chest and he'll say, "This is all we have, but it is everything that we want to give to you to say thank you." Okay. And there's 20 gold in there.
Okay, there's how much?
20 gold.
Okay.
This and is all we have.
And he gives it to me, so I put it in safekeeping for myself, for everybody.
For everybody, yeah.
Right.
So, okay. And it's just for everybody to share as just a thank you so much for everybody. And that's all we travel with, but of course, if you ever are near our hometown, please stop by and we will do everything we can for you.
Well, we still have some time to be here. Why don't we sit? We could sit with Jezebeth. Why don't you get some sleep?
Oh, that makes me very uncomfortable. I want to make sure that I'm here for her. And you can tell he's just not in the place for it, but he's trying really hard to be like, no, I need to be here.
You are of no use to her if you are exhausted and weakened. Trust me, you can do her more good by getting some sleep.
And we have nothing else to do until midday. Why don't you get some sleep? We could sit with her.
We'll watch over her.
Well,
so you can trust us. We'll watch over her.
I think I can trust you more than I can trust anybody in this world right now.
Okay, so you should go rest.
Thank you very much. And he goes into the other room and closes the door.
I would say that we were sit and talk to Jezebeth.
Simon, do you have anything to say?
I'm sorry. I got to talk to her about what I'm supposed to do, what we're supposed to do, correct?
Sorry. You're going to want to ask her about what she knows about Qui-Goth and the eyes and what her ancestor did with his orb.
Okay, apparently your ancestors did something with Qui-Goth's eyes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, we need to find them. We need to find them. Because they were taken, and they want to take the eye and start another Qui-Goth, wherever they are, correct?
Yep.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's
what... No, you're getting it. They want to get the eye so that they
can... They want to start all over with another one. We need to hunt down those eyes.
Oh.
Eyes.
I mean,
correct.
Like literal eyes or...
It was a beholder.
Oh.
Okay, sorry I did not say that from the beginning. It was a beholder, and those eyes were stolen by them. They want to start that up again. I was informed that I need to track this down. And, in my own way, I was hoping that I could count on you to join me on this quest.
That's new.
Huh. First off, DM, does Ulrich know what a beholder is?
Oh.
You're a cleric, I would say yes.
Fair enough. Stopping a beholder, I can think of very few causes more noble than that. You have me.
Thank you, sir.
Me.
I would also just like to clarify a tiny bit. Qui-Goth, when she says Qui-Goth, you do know this name.
I know the name Qui-Goth.
I would say everybody here could know the name. This is kind of like saying Mussolini.
Okay.
This is like the equivalent of saying, you know, Hitler. Yeah. So you know the name. He was a tyrant of the past, and it took a lot of time and energy to destroy him. The people who destroyed him, you don't know anything past that for common knowledge, but he was destroyed.
So there are people trying to bring him back?
Yes, with these eyes.
Apologies, I'm still trying to figure out Haldrick's voice. So I go in and out of different voices. I'm still experimenting.
For what purpose do they want to bring him back? To start up another beholder, all those eyes in different places.
To empower, to essentially, what's the word I'm looking for?
Consolidate power.
Consolidate power is a good way to put it, yes. Mm-hmm. Make their cult even more powerful.
Correct.
Oh no.
And
no,
I apologize for not saying the name in my...
No, you did say the name.
Oh, I wasn't sure if I said it correctly. In my enthusiasm to get everyone, I didn't clarify too much.
You did everything right.
Yeah, no.
I'm just explaining to everybody, you would know the name of Qui-Gon.
Right,
Never heard of the plot to resurrect him. You don't know anything about their followers or possibly a cult. The only thing that you guys common knowledge would know is that that he was destroyed a long time ago.
Right. Okay.
But now, imagine if when Hitler died, you know, someone took that gun that he did. Someone took that gun, and now that gun is a magical item. Right? And now we're trying to track down those magical items.
It would probably be a cursed item.
It would probably be a cursed item, absolutely.
Point taken.
Yeah. So now as you're explaining this to her, and you're kind of catching everybody up at the same time, and you guys are going to take a long time throughout this afternoon while he's sleeping, or early morning, excuse me, to just go through everything, and you're all asking questions, and you're all doing, you're getting on the same page. Jismith hasn't really said anything for a few minutes. Now, I would like you to roll a perception check. I'm sorry, Scarlet, please roll it.
I do that a lot, too.
Yeah, you point
I do that a lot. We try not to say you, that way people listening don't know who we're talking to.
Yeah, who is it that they call
we try? We both try to say the name, but I need to work on it, too.
If I'm... No, never mind.
The 9 includes your proficiency? Oh, perception is wisdom. Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. So, I would say you realize that, you all realize that she's out of it, you know, for a very turbulent night before. So she's out of it, but you haven't really addressed anything with her, like how she looks or anything like that in comparison to the day before. But you see that she's dressed very simply in just like a little dress and like a bathrobe kind of like thrown over her shoulder. Her hair isn't done, she doesn't have makeup on, and she just kind of looks a little worse for wear. But as you all are speaking to her, you can see her wheels are turning in her head. And now, what is really the question to her? You want to know what her ancestor did?
I want her to let me know if she knows anything else. What they did, and what else does she know about that history?
You know, I actually, my family, we were asked these questions over the last few generations because people were always after these artifacts and people were always looking toward us because our name stayed the same, Thromsong.
Right.
And it was very easy to track that lineage. My answer was always, no idea. I never knew. But I can trust you. And after last night, I think I can trust you an immense amount. And I think she would have read the letter from Davenport. And in the letter, it actually says that she is the key. So while she's talking with you, she's just like, I think I need to tell you a few things. Give me just a moment. And she stands up and she walks over to essentially a jewelry box and like on a side table and like over here. And like she picks up the jewelry box and she walks over and she puts it down. And when she opens up this jewelry box, she takes out this amulet and you would recognize it as something she was wearing the night before. And as soon as she picks it up and holds it, she changes, almost like transforms. Her face is sparkling and luminous. Her skin, her lip, like she looks absolutely magical. You can tell this has such an effect on the way she looked and how glamorous and beautiful she looks. And it went from just talking to a normal person to being captivated and like, wow. And she holds up this amulet and she lays it on the table, and in it you see like a decent size, maybe like 2-inch round gem in the middle of it, very large, and surrounded by like a gold filigree around it, thick, heavy gold chain. And she places it down so it almost looks like it could be like projecting up. And she says, I will start with what I know. I don't know a lot about what happened back then. The stories were lost to time. But I do know one story that was always kind of like a bedtime story when I was growing up, and that was handed down. And apologies for the lack of eye contact, but I have to read this.
It's fine, baby.
Banna was a strong and fearsome warrior forged from metal. And now as she is saying these words to you, through the amulet, it almost looks like you're seeing visions of as she is speaking.
As she speaks. So
yes.
Almost like a hologram.
Almost like a hologram, okay. Where, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, I need your help. Like that image in your mind.
Yeah.
Where you can see something being projected up, and you can see little forms of what's happening.
Okay.
Banna was a strong and fearsome warrior forged from metal. Balin was a bard with a lust for life. Amidst the perils they faced together, a deep love blossomed between them. As the final battle raged against Qui-Goth, they saw their future together coming into view, but fate stepped in to their lives. Although the body fell, the beholder's eyes proved indestructible. Recognizing the dangers of leaving such potent artifacts unchecked, the heroes resolved to safeguard these eyes from the world. Banna took the eye of, I never get this right, petrification.
Got it?
You got it.
Yeah.
And with a heavy heart, he bade farewell to Balin and embarked on a solitary pilgrimage to secure the eye, promising his return in a year's time. As time passed, there was no sight of him. Banna noticed that the more he tried to destroy the stone, it got stronger, and the waves of energy that cast out from it. He noticed the forest transformed around him, the very trees, the fauna, and the forest turning them into stagnant stone. The animals that lived there turned into statues. The kids that played, the parents that looked for them, the soldiers that came to investigate, the army that came to destroy this unknown evil, all fell short. They now live entombed in a forest, a haunting reminder of this eye's unforgiving wrath. The eye's gaze held no sway over Banna and his forged metal skin, granting him immunity in this entombed forest, and he was never able to return to his love. After several years, Balin received a letter of regret, accompanied by a lily made of crystal. Its enduring beauty and strength will forever intertwine their souls. And you see this all being played out in front of you.
What continent did this happen in?
I do not know. It was just a story.
Because it was so long ago.
So long ago.
Lost to time.
So this was... this was the story that was told in the letter from Banna to Balin. And my ancestor is Balin. At home, I still have the crystal lily.
Is Balin a bard that would have been well known and like written about?
Yes.
So
he's in the lore.
He is the lore. He is one of the ones that destroyed Qui-Goth. When Banna took the eye to paralyze of the stone, but Balin took the one of charm.
Okay. So, but Balin is like known.
I got it.
Balin is known as one of the heroes that conquered Qui-Goth. Absolutely.
But not so much for like their bardish talent or anything like that.
Yes. High level, 20 level bard.
Okay.
He turned the stone. And no, this is Jezebeth talking again, sorry. he was able to use the stone to further his career. He used the stone all the time to produce the highest level of charm.
Wow.
And enthrall audiences. And it was passed down through our family for the last 1,000 years.
I've read about Boleyn since I've been little.
Our whole family, the Throngsong family. And then she just takes the amulet and pushes it to you and sits back.
Well, do you know what to do with that, Simon?
No, I don't. Does she wish for one of us to pick it up and carry that? Does she want...
You can tell by her demeanor that she's, like, shaking while she's looking at this amulet.
She no longer wants it, Simon. She's giving it to us.
But your career.
Okay.
After last night, I don't want a career anymore. I just want to live peacefully.
Perfectly reasonable.
But where will you go?
I have a quiet home. I have money that I've inherited, money that I've earned.
But are you going to be safe? All the money in the world does not guarantee any safety.
I know I'm not safe here. Even with you all around me, anybody could come through that door at any moment. I want to be home. And I think the men last night were looking for this. And if I'm rid of it, then that will diminish my...
That said, you were the key, not the amulet.
Yeah, you may still be in danger. Does somebody have to have that amulet to continue on this? Do I take it and keep it for myself? Is it something that I am going to use or that's going to be helpful to me?
If you are looking for the stones, and if you're looking for the eyes, take the amulet.
I will take it.
So I'm going to stop. I'm going to slow it down.
Okay.
You reach for the amulet.
Okay.
When you go to pick it up, you see this charm effect that was on her diminish. She turns into a very average-looking person again.
Okay.
And you turn absolutely gorgeously beautiful.
I'm sorry?
You turn gorgeously beautiful.
Oh!
You mean I turn gorgeously more beautiful?
Gorgeously more beautiful. Your features, like, become angular. Your eyes brighten and widen. Your hair becomes lustrous. Okay.
Powerful.
So while you're holding this, do an investigation for me.
Okay. 17.
Okay. So while you're looking at this amulet and you feel this like powerful feeling come over you, you don't even notice that your appearance has changed. Only the people around the room have. And you flip it over. And in the back, there looks like there's this little door, like a trap door, almost as if it is a locket.
On the amulet?
On the amulet. So now you see kind of like a little fasten.
Do I open it or not? Is that the next question?
Do you
open it. I'm stuck with this thing already. Yeah.
So as soon as you open this little door, one first thing that happens is you recognize it. You're the only one, because you read the book that I wrote you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I wrote. You read this book. There is an image in it that actually depicts what the eyes look like. And that it is a stone that looks like it has a honeycomb pattern in it. And it looks like to be the size of a walnut. So when you pop it open, you see this walnut-sized stone, and it has a honeycomb pattern to it. And you realize that this is not a large eyeball, but the stone that was within that eyeball that held the magic. And you immediately go, oh, that's what it is. But right as you have this moment, everybody at the table, you freeze. Solid.
Okay.
All of you need to do a charisma saving throw.
Oh, jeez.
What?
I'm sorry?
Charisma saving throw.
Wait a minute. Let me say something.
It's not a charm, is it?
Is it magic?
Yes.
Okay.
You want advantage?
I think so. Is that charisma?
Yeah, advantage against magic. Sure.
Okay.
So roll me 2. Take the higher.
Okay. That's what I... Charisma.
13. 13.
Wait, I'm still...
So, Kristen, what's your question?
Because it says I have advantage against being charmed.
Yep, there you go. That's it. Advantage.
Okay, so I can roll my charisma
twice.
Because
this is trying
twice.
To charm you. Okay. Yep. So roll twice to die.
But I'm still the same. I'm not...
You roll a two.
Oh, I roll a two. Yeah. What did you say? Charisma? Oh, crap.
What? Two lows?
See.
Hold on, let me look.
Yeah. Five would be the plus high one.
Plus, no, I have two question marks. You. What is that?
I don't know.
18.
18. What is your five? With advantage? Oh, that sucks.
I rolled a two the second time.
Oh, I got a big roll.
Sucks.
So this DEC is extremely high for a reason. Oh. Only you made it. So you see first everyone, even you freeze. Mm-hmm. As soon as Simon opens that trap door, Scarlett, you're able to recover after a second or two. And you see everyone around you.
And it happened after Simon opened the trap door.
And now everyone is kind of like frozen, like mouth open, like stuck.
Can I kind of, my guess is like I'm on a love seat and Simon wouldn't be that far away.
Correct.
So kind of like just reach over, like kind of just looking at Jezebeth and try to close the door.
Okay.
On the thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do.
You're just going to try to close the door.
Yeah.
When you do it, everyone here has the opportunity to recover.
Okay. So we're back to normal.
So you're back to normal.
Okay. Okay. Do not open that door.
Were we aware that we got frozen?
Yes. I think you were aware. You were able to see everything around you. You were able to feel like, oh my God, I can't even move.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a strong effect on you that you just could not move.
Okay. So when Scarlet says, you know, do not open the...
Mm-hmm.
I second that. That was a very weird state of affairs.
But now, Simon, you know what it is. But you haven't shared that information yet. You know what that is.
Oh.
It's an eye. It's one of the eyes. It's the Eye of Charm.
Okay.
What do you do with the information?
That's what I do with the information, to share it. I don't remember what it is.
So, this is one of the eyes that you've been looking for.
Okay.
It just happens to be the Eye of Charm. Each eye does something different, right?
Gotcha.
So, this is the Eye of
Charm.
The
Eye of... Yes.
Now, remember the box I told you about?
Yeah.
The locked puzzle box?
Right.
Your teacher gave you that to protect the eyes.
So, yeah, I put the eye in that puzzle box to keep it for safekeeping.
So, before you do any of that, I recommend you explaining to your people around you.
Okay.
That you are doing this to protect the eye.
This is one of the eyes that went missing. I got this from my teacher, all this information. She also gave me this box to... If I got any of the eyes, they go in this box for safekeeping. So I will take it and put it in here. But I would have to open the door again.
Mm-mm. You could throw the whole amulet in there.
Huh?
You could throw the whole amulet in there.
Oh, okay. I throw the amulet into the puzzle box.
So I'll slow it down just one more time. So you take a moment, because it takes about like a minute to open this puzzle box. So with the amulet sitting there, you take the puzzle box out and you slowly start manipulating it. So even though all of you kind of looking like almost like someone entering your password into your computer, even though you can see a little bit of it, it's so complicated you can't get
it. So even I, with the idea of how to pick locks and things, it's over my head.
It's like...
I'll be like, damn, even I can't figure that out.
Question, am I the only one who can manipulate the box?
Correct. You are tuned to the box, almost like... almost like his armor, you couldn't just go, oh, that's mine now.
Right.
Like it's an attunement.
Attuned to me.
It's tuned to you.
Okay.
So you open it. It takes a moment. When you pop off that thing, you pop off the lid. It is about this big, the box. It's small. It's made of metal. When you look into it, it almost looks like into a looking glass where you can see more than what it could possibly hold. You look through and you can see almost like stars, deep blue. It looks like a vast empty space. You take the amulet whole.
Right.
And you go to put it in. And as you kind of place it in this, it almost like it floats for a second, and you can see the stone get sucked through, but the amulet is still up on top. So it's like the stone has pulled through into this void, and now the amulet stands solid.
Okay. But now it's safely in my puzzle box.
But it is safely in your puzzle box. Right. You can take the lid, close it, okay. Relock it.
Okay. Yes. And we go on from there.
And you go on from there. So there you go, guys.
Well, that's that's one down.
Mm.
How many do you need? 12.
12. I thought it was 12. I wasn't sure.
Well, there's 12 things. 10, 12, depends on how you look at it.
Oh. Well, this is just one, so. You know,
depends
we have.
Depends on how you look
that
at it.
That is one intriguing box. I consider myself a locksmith of.
A connoisseur of boxes?
Well, how to manipulate them, so to speak. Some people say break in.
Yeah.
I can't figure that one out for the life of me. I'm impressed.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Okay, guys. Ready? One eye has been located and secured. Good work, everybody.
Yay!
Yay!
And where do we go from here?